The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Feels to me like the air conditioning is out. I think the air conditioning is out. You want to know what? That's perfect. That's just perfect for today. Because you know what I want to talk about today? There's one little line here in the scriptures. Whoever wishes to come after me must take up his cross and follow me. You know, we have forgotten what a crucifixion really is. We've taken the cross and we've made it into jewelry. Nothing wrong with jewelry, don't get me wrong, right? Cast it in alabaster. Why? Because the sacrifice and the love behind it is beautiful, but we've forgotten. We've forgotten how horrible crucifixion really was. I mean, the Romans spent years perfecting a means of execution, and the fruit of their labor was the crucifix, a form of execution so barbaric that they didn't even speak about it. The Romans didn't speak about it. And yet Jesus comes along, and not only does he speak about it, but he says that if you're going to follow me, this is what it's going to be like. I think everybody ought to get some kind of a photorealistic crucifix or an image and have it someplace in your life. Maybe you've seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, which was R-rated just because of how horrible the crucifix was. When it came time to design the church, I had a million decisions to make. What's this going to look like and what's that going to look like? One of the questions that I had to face was, do we want to have a photorealistic crucifix? And I figured it's probably too much for some people to look at. But you ought to have one someplace in your life. Personally, I have one on a bookmark, one of the books I use every single day. And you should look at it. And you should be astonished at seeing it. And remember that following the Lord will ask astonishing sacrifice of you. Now, as a priest, I get to see this all the time. I get to see people astonished. Maybe it's I'm talking about marriage and sexuality issues. Maybe I'm talking about contraception. Maybe I'm telling somebody about, you know, divorce and remarriage, and you know you really shouldn't be going to communion. And you look at them and they're astonished. And they think, oh, how could God possibly ask as much as that? Some people, it's forgiveness. Maybe someone's done something genuinely horrible. Or maybe there's been a death in the family. Especially the death of a child. Or maybe it's persevering through a long illness or persevering through a personal hardship with no end in sight. And when you suggest that God might have a hand in this plan, they're astonished. How could God possibly be like that? You want to know what Jesus' message is for you today? Go ahead and be astonished. Be shocked. In fact, if you're not shocked and astonished at what it takes to be a follower of the Lord, then you're probably not really following the Lord. I hate to break it to you. You should be able to come to the end of your life and say to the Lord, "I gave it all. Every last bit of my resources, heart, mind, soul, and strength." But remember too, when you look at a crucifix, that the love God asks of you, that's also the love that God has for you. Remember that just as well. St. Thomas Aquinas once said that the slightest bit of supernatural grace is greater than all the material blessings in the whole universe. You know, if that means you make a sign of the cross or throw up a little Hail Mary, even half distracted is greater than all the wealth and material blessings and honors of the whole world, because what God gives is something that will never be taken away. Go ahead and be astonished by that as well. You know, in our first reading, we hear the story of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and he's given a speech to all the people of Israel just outside the promised land. They've made it to the promised land at last. Well, why doesn't he go into the promised land and give his speech? Why does he stand outside the promised land and give his speech? And the reason for that is that Moses can't go into the promised land. God won't let him go in. Now, if you want to know the details of it, it was in yesterday's first reading, and I won't get into it. But we don't really know why God won't let Moses go in, but only that he did something. Moses did something in which God says, you failed to be faithful to me, and you failed to show my holiness to my people. Well, remember, heaven is the real promised land, and the one who leads us there is Christ our Lord, and he is faithful. And when you look at a crucifix, you're seeing God's holiness that he shows to all of his people. And our little thought for the day is, if you want to be a blessing to anybody else in this world, you better start making your life look like that. Because we want to be faithful to the Lord and show God's holiness to his people. And imitating our Lord in his crucifix, even in a small degree, is the way we do that. If there was another road that led to heaven, I'd tell you about it, but there's not. Look at a crucifix. Meditate on a crucifix. Think about it, pray about it, and ask for the grace of God to be faithful to it and to imitate it, regardless of the cost. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, pray for us.